What else could destroy my life? Secondly, and quickly, watch out for disobedient Christian living. Christian teachers can destroy one's life, but so can my own disobedient living can destroy my life, can put me broken to pieces at rock bottom. And the Sermon on the Mount answers one of life's most crucial questions that any of us can ask, which is, how can I protect myself from the storms of life? How do I protect myself from the storms of life? Well, here's what Jesus says. He says, I want to warn you to build your life on a solid foundation. That's the starting point. Build your life on a solid foundation. And he doesn't use a fruit and tree metaphor here. He uses a building metaphor, or a house metaphor, might be one way to think of it. And he says, you protect yourself by being a bedrock builder. You build your life on bedrock, which means what? It means you listen to my teachings and you also do my teachings, right? You hear them and you do them, hearer and doer. So Jesus puts it this way, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. The rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. Why? Because it's built on bedrock. It's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds on sand, or think of a beach. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So we see this contrast here. There's two kinds of builders. Disciples protect their lives by considering and discerning and being warned. There's two kinds of builders. I'm a bedrock builder, or I'm a beach builder. And fortunately, we get these vivid illustrations on what that means. I want to point out something, that the bedrock builder who was obedient and the beach builder who's disobedient, what did they both face? The same. The storms. Same storm. But there was a difference between the two. And I want to pick this out. Where are my former, current Sunday school teachers or children's church teachers? Raise your hand. Where are you? You've ever taught Sunday school? You've ever been a children's church leader teacher? This is going to thrill you. Brace yourself. Move up on the edge of your seat. Move up on the edge of your seat. You're going to love this. Check this out. Two glasses. One of them is water. One of them does not. When you shake them both, one of them spills water out. What's different about them is one nothing comes out, one water comes out. What's different about them is not the way that their circumstances happened to them. They both got shaken. What's different is what? What's inside. And life circumstances, storms blow through everybody's life. Some of them, they're hurricane force winds. Other people, it's stormy thunderstorm. Other people have tornado impact. No matter how you are experiencing it, everybody is facing storms in their life. That means everybody's life gets shaken. And what Jesus is showing us is this. There's a life inside of obedience, of hearing, recognizing, and applying my life to the way Jesus teaches and to the way that God's design through his scripture is laid out for us, that brings to us a peace where nothing comes out, rather than the spilling out of all kinds of hurt and bitterness and anger and resentment that comes out. Based on what's in it, not based on what's happened to it. So, all professing Christians look the same. All professing Christians look like this glass, both the serious and also the casual. What's common to both spiritual house builders is that they are listening to Christian messages. They're members of the visible Christian community. It's probably common that they're reading their Bible. They're gathering with the church, attending Christian groups. And there's a reason you can't tell the difference between them. It's because the deep foundations of their lives are hidden under the surface. whether or not they believe, whether or not they trust, whether or not they're open to throwing themselves at the will of a good heavenly Father, whether they hear Jesus' teaching or even whether they respect or believe it. But what's different is whether they put into practice what they hear. Whether they put into practice what they hear. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've talked to some people who've kind of wandered away from the truth. And when you ask them what kind of led them away, they describe a church that I also don't believe in and that I also would have left. Or they describe a God that I also would have left. But it's heartbreaking to hear someone describe a church and a God or describe a Jesus that isn't the accurate one. It isn't the real one. And no wonder there's so much heartache when somebody has a vision of God, his church, and his son Jesus that is inaccurate. And it makes sense that they would reject that. So how can we inspect our foundation? Well, Jesus says only a storm will reveal your foundation. This is the hard part. This is the hard part for a lot of us. A lot of us are in this circumstance where we're like, I am a bedrock builder. I've been building my bedrock my whole life. I've been reading, attending, and signing up for everything my entire life. I'm a bedrock builder. And then you have no idea that you're a beach builder until the storm blows in, and you are finding yourself hundreds of miles away from where you thought you were going to be, right? And without raising your hand, have you discovered in your own life that storms reveal what kind of foundation you have? I have. It is a vivid, vivid revelation of what kind of foundation we have. And I don't know, I mean, a lot of you have a similar story. Some of us have lost a marriage. Some of us have lost a loved one. Some of us have been accused at work. Some of us have lost a favorite, right? Maybe you've dropped out of college, that you had your dream that was just shattered because you couldn't finish, or you had to drop out of school for one reason or other. Others have probably really put their hope in their retirement savings, and then some group of politicians and economic brainiacs made some decisions that the market collapsed, and your retirement is evaporated. And I can't even imagine. There's limitless hardships, right? I mean, some of them are even more painful to talk about. And Jesus isn't demanding that you have intellectual knowledge of him. Jesus isn't demanding that you salute him in agreement. What Jesus is asking and what he's challenging us to do is to be sure that you're not just a fan of what Jesus says. Not just a fan where you're listening and pondering what he says, but what Jesus is challenging you to do is to be a real, live out, obedient, no matter how hard it is, no matter how I'm having to swim upstream in the culture, in my family, at work, I am doing God's thing, Jesus' thing, because I believe it's the best thing. And it brings me the good life. And it puts me in a position to be near God and hear from God. And by the way, whether we trust our Heavenly Father, or whether we doubt in his goodness, it has to do whether or not he's Lord over our lives or he's Lord over someone else's life. And when we make him Lord over our lives, there are some major, major changes in the way that we live. Following Jesus' teaching or not following it is the difference between standing and collapsing. So here's what we do. Avoid being a suspicious church cynic. It's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He's not saying be a cynic. Distrust everyone all the time and never accept that anything's true. That's a cynic. It's never true. It's always distorted. I can never accept it. I'm protecting myself. That's not what Jesus is saying. But listen and watch with discernment. Can we do that together? Can we always do that? Can I give you wholehearted permission to watch closely my actions and my character? Our pastors who are gathered to lead and serve our church family, you have our permission to inspect their life, not for perfection, but for humility and grace and love and gentleness and kindness with people. And if there's trouble, post it on Facebook. It'll ruin everybody's life. It's so easy. So easy. I'm glad you laughed at that. So be on your guard, okay? So secondly, prepare. This is very practical, very practical. Prepare for the storms of life as a bedrock builder, someone who's a doer, not a beach builder who's just listening and hearing. And we're going to talk about, really quick, that means that some of us, we know and we've heard that Jesus says, forgive. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. And I don't mean do it in a blink of an eye. I mean do the work. When Jesus says, there's hope, and we continue to say, no, this is hopeless. No, Jesus says, there's hope. I heal. I restore. I bring whatever is destroyed in your heart, I bring it back to life. And you say, no, this whole thing is hopeless. My kids are hopeless. My family's hopeless. My marriage is hopeless. My business is hopeless. My future is hopeless. This country is hopeless. Jesus says, that isn't what I said. I said there's hope, because none of us are hoping in all of those things. We're hoping in the one who has always faithfully been good, generation after generation after generation, for thousands of years, and you can look to his goodness. We spend a lot of time singing of his goodness even when we don't feel like it sometimes. And Jesus is saying, when you do that, when there's hope, and you exchange hopelessness for his hope, and you exchange forgiveness for unforgiveness, and you exchange love for hate, you know what he says happens? You start to shore up for that storm blowing in. And when that storm blows in, you realize bitterness isn't coming out. Anger isn't coming out, sinful anger. And what comes out is not resentment. Instead, you hold up under the storm and you hold the mighty hand of the one who oversees those storms, and you hold that hand and you say, I'm a bedrock builder. I'm not praying it away. I'm holding on to the hand of the one who sometimes, you know, it's a merciful God, someone said, who casts your soul onto the rock of ages. It's a merciful God who does that, who brings us by the waves of life, crashes us into the rock of ages to say, I need my Father in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, you're good. What you're putting out before us, we recognize today, isn't accomplished in our human effort. It's not accomplished in our willpower. It's not even accomplished in our resolve. We recognize it is a deep work that you do by your Spirit. And I'm mindful today of people who have been hurt by false teachers, who you've gathered together here among us for your purpose. And I'm mindful today, God, whose lives have collapsed in sand because the storm overwhelmed them. And I pray, and I trust, and I join my little faith with the little faith of your people here. And I ask you, would you do a deep work, deep healing, with new truth, new joy, new hope, new sense of obedience to do it your way. And God, when we talk like that and when we pray like that, we know we need your Spirit to accomplish it. And I just imagine among us, Father, that you are lifting burdens from people's hearts that are in agony. Lifelong bitterness against Christian leaders and teachers who have brought destruction and hurt, whose character and conduct damaged your church. And God, I just pray, today might be the day that it starts to heal. Or that you finish the work you've already started and that there's new healing. We recognize together that you're in the business of healing hearts, healing lives. And we recognize also that even though you've said that we need to be discerning about our teachers and obedient about our own life, that you're at work accomplishing all the things that we can't accomplish ourselves. And we trust you to do that together among the church family, among the live stream church family. Would you do it today? We pray these in Jesus' strong name, who is able. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing and celebrate this good God of ours. And I invite you to join the singing about how good God is, even if you're not sure you're 100% convinced of his goodness. By faith, say it out that it's true. In other words, just do the thing that God has put before us to do. Let's do it together.